Hey, before we jump into the show, I wanted to give you a heads up that my free YouTube strategy class is available right now on demand at thinkmasterclass.com. On the class, I reveal the one YouTube strategy we use at Think Media to generate over 330,000 views every single day. So if you're new to YouTube, this will help you start right and avoid mistakes. And if you're a YouTube pro, this training will help you multiply your growth. This class is 100% free and you can watch it now on demand at thinkmasterclass.com. Now, let's jump into today's show. You will not build wealth if you don't learn new skills, be excellent at what you do, solve a problem. That's the shrewd side. Then we need the Holy Spirit side. And I think when we have both, I think that that's how we can be the most effective as Christian content creators.
If you are a Christian content creator, today's episode is going to be extremely powerful for you because we're going to be discussing controversial topics, censorship, and just how to express your beliefs in your videos.
Like, hey, which is better, the Canon R50 or the Sony ZV-E10? You know, before we get there, have you met Jesus? That's like a Jesus juke, you know what I mean? Like, you're just like, what are we talking about? Like, respect, you know, the viewer. What are they there for?
If you are a Christian content creator, today's episode is going to be extremely powerful for you because we're going to be discussing controversial topics, censorship, and just how to express your beliefs in your videos. And so we have a lot of powerful tips for you that we're going to get right into with Sean Cannell.
Yeah, super fired up. And, you know, I'm excited about this episode because, of course, our podcast is a business podcast for YouTube in general. And we cover tips for real estate agents, content creators, business owners, entrepreneurs. But I have a real passion for Christian content creators that whether like overtly from a Bible study channel or whether like maybe they're just kind of Christians themselves and they want to weave their faith into their content and anywhere on that spectrum, there's some unique challenges that come up that I think we have some valuable advice for.
Absolutely. And we, these are real questions that we get from our community on a regular basis as well. And case studies that we've gotten from talking to many different people in our space. So the very first question I want to start with is how should people approach the idea of weaving their faith into their videos?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I feel like there's four ways to do it. And so I'll go through these. Number one, I actually think you could keep it private. So I sometimes feel like you might feel too much pressure to share your faith when that might not even be necessary or it might not be your vision and you shouldn't feel guilt about it. Here's what I mean. On Think Media, I don't do Christian camera reviews. And one of my biggest pet peeves would be trying to do Christian camera reviews. What are we even talking about? Like a camera doesn't have a faith life. Like a camera is not spiritual in a sense. I really do believe all things are spiritual. I think that there's too much division of sacred and secular, quote unquote. But no doubt about it, every Christian needs to be following the Great Commission if they believe the Bible. And so they should share their faith, but you don't have to force your faith into your business or your content. And again, if you were doing JavaScript coding videos, mm-hmm. Like just be brief, be bright, be fun to be done and do that. And then realize that, you know, our opportunity to share our faith, maybe we're like, I need to share my faith on YouTube, but you're just not even doing it in your everyday life, friends, family, being a good neighbor. So I think I want to empower people that they don't have to feel the pressure to feel their faith. And then just, you know, Francis Schaeffer said, at all times, share the gospel. And if necessary, use words. I think there is something just about being salt and light. Your kindness, your joy. Now, I know that theologians and ministers would say, but of course the gospel needs to be preached. I agree, but what's the context? What's the vibe in the room? And unfortunately, maybe your way of sharing it is in your bio on your about page. Maybe you include a Bible verse on your about page or something. And that's it. It's kind of like a subtle, like I know at In-N-Out for a while, they had Bible verses on their, you know, they weren't like preaching to you while you were checking out with your animal style fries.
But I subtly was like, I identify with this brand because of that Bible verse. It's such a simple thing. And that means so much to people.
Yeah. So I think you could be subtle, not overt, not, you know, and weave some things in, but hopefully more than anything. And I think what we need globally, but especially in America is I think Christianity kind of needs a rebrand. I think that sometimes we can be known so much for what we're for. So much for what we're against, more than what we're for. Like, we just are more about picketing as opposed to really shining a bright light in terms of how we love, how we have kindness, how we treat others, just our style. You know, over the years, I have gotten some feedback. We've gotten a lot louder about Christianity lately. But some people were like, I always kind of thought that maybe Sean was a Christian. Sometimes my friend Mike Signorelli was, sometimes I was like, man, he was talking to YouTube. And I felt like there was like an anointing. That was the way, his way of saying it. And so I think you could just be talking YouTube, talking business, doing your art. That's one option. And that's for between you and God, pray about it. Okay. So the second level, I think the second level is to incorporate your faith like a Dave Ramsey or a John Maxwell, two heroes of mine. And so what I love about Dave Ramsey and John Maxwell, Dave Ramsey, is he a minister? No, he teaches personal finance. Is John Maxwell a minister? No, he teaches leadership. Now, actually, all Christians are supposed to be ministers, but they have a particular skill, a particular niche, a particular thing they got known for. And I think that this is kind of the ultimate media opportunity, in my opinion. There's a proverb that says, if you see someone skilled at what they do, they'll serve before kings, not common people. And it talks about that if you develop a skill, an actual excellence, an actual results in an area, that number one is where subscribers come from. That number two is where revenue comes from. The key ingredient of success in business is actual results and excellence. It's not theory. It's not your spiritual feelings. It's not how much you prayed. It's, can you deliver a result and solve a problem? And Dave is getting massive people out of debt. He's helping people in entree leadership. John Maxwell, known as one of the greatest leadership teachers, maybe best-selling leadership author. So they had to develop skill in their craft, but both of these individuals are really known for weaving their faith in subtly into their books, overtly through maybe sharing Bible verses, universally sharing those to just add value to people of all different backgrounds, but also then at times even giving gospel presentations. John Maxwell is especially known for this, whether eventually at like a seminar, a conference he does, maybe in a book, maybe in a chapter at the end of the book. So that's the incorporate. And that would mean be great, be get really good at the thing you do, and then weave it in. And saying those examples, maybe some of our listeners would know, they could see how much of heroes those guys are. I believe, like John Maxwell does, the Bible is the greatest success book of all time. And therefore, he has referenced one guy. One day, a guy came up to him after he had taught on leadership all day. The listener was blown away. Like, this is crazy. It's a whole different approach. I see how powerful this would be, how good of a culture this would be build, how much more this would lead to revenue and impact. And he came up to John after a session. He was like, John, I'm curious, like, where'd you get all this stuff? It's different. There's like love in it. And it's like a servant leadership model. It feels different than maybe the greed and the pressure or the domination or the putting others down and control and manipulation. And I'm your boss and you serve me. The way you're teaching is totally different. John, where did you get all this stuff? And he goes, if I tell you, I don't think you're going to like the answer. You still want to know? The guy said, John, of course I want to know. And he goes, I got all of it from the Bible. And he goes, man, you're right. I didn't want to know. Because he's like, you know, a lot of times people don't want religion or whatever to come into it. But I think that you now have seen that over the years and the impact that that can make. So that's my preference out of the four options. But let's go to number three. So you could keep it private, number one, or just, you know, it's not the platform you have to force it into. You could choose to incorporate it, pray about it. Three, you could start a second channel or a second show. And so a good example of this is my friend Rory Vaden. And so he's a Christian. He has what's called Brand Builders. We'll link to a couple episodes. He's got some banger episodes on the Think Media podcast about choosing a name for your channel or your brand or your book. That one's pretty legendary. And Brand Builders, his company, helps people build their personal brands, monetize their personal brands, cool stuff. And I would say that similar, maybe not even as much as a John or a Dave. Like, he's solving a problem. It's a business that solves problems for a profit. But then also what he did was he launched a new podcast that I think was also not even ongoing. I think it's called like Eternal Life, 7 questions every skeptic should know or answer about Jesus. And I think he did like 7 episodes, and it was kind of his way of his passion for his faith, his passion for the historical fact of Jesus and the resurrection, these details, and wanted to put that out there. And I'm on his email list. I got an email that I think was an all list send about, hey, if you're interested in this, and maybe we've built some kind of a connection, you could go check this out. But again, the key there was that's not his main podcast or his main YouTube channel. He started a second channel or a second show. To take a small side quest here, what I would encourage listeners to do though is that sometimes if you're a Christian content creator and you're like, I want to, you know, really share my faith and I want to do all things all right now, I think that we always warn people, the side quest is be careful starting a second channel or show too soon. It's hard enough to grow one show. It's hard enough to grow one channel. And if I think you study somebody like a Dave Ramsey, what has he been doing this thing for like 30 years? The amount of shows or channels or books or environments, or like if he has a conference on marriage or faith or leadership, you might go like, well, he does a lot of stuff. Well, yeah, there's 1,000 people working for him too. And he's been in it 30 years. When he started, it's like, boom, one thing. What is the one thing I solve? Debt, you know, baby steps, cut up your credit cards. So maybe now's the time for you to go, oh, wow, I'm already doing the one thing. And I'm not, I don't want to like Jesus juke people and like force my faith. Like, hey, which is better, the Canon R50 or the Sony ZV-E10? You know, before we get there, have you met Jesus? That's like a Jesus juke. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, what are we talking about? Like, respect, you know, the viewer. What are they there for? What are they? But if they start a second show and you just let people know, hey, by the way, I know this is a little bit off brand for me, maybe it's a little bit different, but I have a separate show that you can check out. And Rory has done that and others have done that as well. You maybe have your business channel. Maybe you start going personal vlog, personal channel, but just be careful about when you do it, because it's hard enough to grow one business, hard enough to grow one channel. You could then grow the second channel. And then if you have any follow-up questions on these, let me just hit number four. Number four would then be to go all in with Christian content. And what I mean is that it's obvious it's Christian content. So in this case, there's many listening to this right now that know they want to do a Bible study channel, or what is faith and motherhood look like? Maybe it's apologetics. How do we defend the faith, or how can we trust the Bible itself? Why is it reliable? What are our different sources for that information? Theology, or different things like that. We're right up front. Even maybe it's business, but it's like clearly, it's like faith in business. And so you just kind of go really overt. Listen, I think all four of these are great. I think it's about, and you might also shift through these in your career, if you will, but you could keep it private. And I think that one probably gets too much stigma. It's not even that you keep it private. It's just that you don't force it on something that's, it's not practically involved. You can incorporate it. You can start a second channel to do it, or you could just go all in. And then that's also great. People know exactly what they're getting. And you're kind of at that point, maybe also deciding this channel is maybe to serve Christians and grow in their faith versus maybe reach people who don't know God or are exploring Christianity for the first time. So trying to figure out kind of where you fit in.
I think what you said about just living out your, whether it's your YouTube channel or your business as a whole under biblical principles is so powerful, because like you said, we did that for years at Think Media without very much overt, you know, Christianity in your content at all. And it was really that we were demonstrating the positive side. Like you said, it wasn't about, you know, picketing. It wasn't about telling people what they shouldn't be doing or about protesting things. It was about showing the positive things that come out of that biblical mindset. And so I think we've seen it in our business. You mentioned, I just wanted to share too, that when we get to go deeper with people, we actually got to share even more of those stories. And so when you're first creating your content, it's, you know, picking one of those four options, but then you are going to be going deeper with people through courses, or you're going deeper through people with, like we do, challenges or just different like web classes, different formats. And those are often opportunity as well to even weave in more of your story, but also just to like hit those biblical foundations more, to love on people more, to give, be generous. Like having those foundations in your business is going to be one of the best ways to share in a lot of times. So,
well, there's also a couple of things that come to mind. You know, Seth Godin wrote a book called Permission Marketing, and this is an important marketing principle to understand in general. It's also the idea of it getting someone to opt into an email list. They have given you permission to follow up with them about that thing, as opposed to pushy marketing. And I'm not saying there's not a place and time for street preaching, not a place and time for just invasion of like, you know, people got to hear, I got to preach hard. But I think that what we're kind of also talking about here is maybe that sequence of permission.
Yeah.
That maybe at some point someone, they want to watch that second show because you've built more of a relationship with them first and they're curious and they've seen, hopefully, the fruit of your Christianity in your own life and mental health and marriage and character as you've been being transformed. And I also would say all that, like for some people, they might also feel pressure. I don't want to start my YouTube channel unless I like actually have my entire act together. Mm-hmm. I think that's also a wrong mindset because the power of the gospel is not your moral performance. The power of the gospel is Jesus's performance being perfect, dying on the cross for our sins. And us, no matter where we are on our journey, always falling radically short of God's grace. Paul, towards the end of his life, writes, I'm the chief of all sinners. Probably when he was the most holy and most sanctified, he had the greatest awareness of actually how far away. Like it's almost like the closer you get to God, the further away you realize you are because you realize how perfect and holy and magnificent he is. If we start getting an ego, like our own moral performance, I'm finally ready to be the perfect example. And now I can put that on social media. I think we're in trouble because we are putting faith in our own works as opposed to completely and wholly on Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's also some verses for this that kind of came to mind where Paul like writes to the Ephesians, like be wise in how you live amongst the world. In Thessalonians, it says like, you know, those who shouldn't work need to get to work, and you should live peaceful lives amongst the world so that they can see just your, like work with your hands
Yes. And
be at peace. Mm-hmm. Like, so sometimes we can get so riled up. And listen, I want to support those that are also maybe on the front lines of the culture wars.
Absolutely.
Conservative channel, news channels, political channels, fighting for Christian Judeo values. Okay. If you know what you're doing, if you've chosen your enemies and you feel the thing you're called to. But yeah, 99% of us as Christians could, I think, really benefit from getting, you know, thinking about our own house, thinking about our kind of our own faith, and thinking about that example that we're sharing. And what I also kind of like about this is I heard, this was kind of back in like the Willow Creek days. I know they've gone through some different drama, but that was sort of the seeker-friendly movement. But what they learned was there's the spectrum, -7 and +7 when it comes to people's journey with God. So a -7 is like as far away from God as most of us would realize. Like not zero interest in God, maybe atheist, agnostic, and maybe just living however. And you still, zero is I have come to the foot of the cross. It has become clear to me. Like when Jesus asked Peter and the disciples, who do you say that I am? You know, some say he's a teacher, some say he's a prophet. And Peter's like, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You are the Savior. And he goes, that it wasn't revealed to you by man. That is a light bulb moment that has been revealed to you. That is true. And on this rock, not on you, Peter, and your bloodline, on this rock, this revelation, this light bulb moment, I will build my church that Jesus is God. But so that's zero. And then +7, it's zero, and this is what's so cool is because any of us can come to Jesus no matter what's going on, no matter, it's not perfect performance, moral performance. Your life might be messy and it might get messier after you come to Jesus. Like the gospel is so powerful and his grace is so amazing. That's zero. Seven though, is that process of being transformed, +7 to, okay, I'm in a Christian community. I'm maybe starting to read the Bible. I'm starting to take my faith seriously. I'm seeing my life progressively transformed. And I think that sometimes Christians take the whole weight of the world of like sharing their faith on their singular shoulders. Mm-hmm. And they just think, oh man, like if I don't Jesus juke people and like force this into my content, if I don't tell them, like, which we should absolutely have urgency. The Bible would teach that in terms of sharing our faith and how life is fragile and it's short and you never know. Like if you were to die tonight, do you know you're right with God? Now is the time to get right with God. Absolutely. But also we all have a different piece in the story. And Paul wrote, some plant, some water, but it's God who makes it grow. So sometimes I think that if we also see that we need all four of these types of channels, that Christian content creators that have a desire to expand God's kingdom, be thinking about where they fit in and maybe just being a positive encounter with a Christian versus being a preacher. And there was other stats done that said it actually takes like 7 positive encounters with just Christians, not preaching encounters, just positive encounters. Like, oh, wow, I didn't know. Like, oh, that's your faith? Man, I love the way you guys are raising your kids. Or like, man, the way you run your business and your culture, it's like so different. Oh, man, you built that on the Bible? Well, that's then one seed. Now, the reverse, what about negative encounters with Christians? And I know we all make mistakes. I've made the most. But like negative encounters with Christians of feeling super judged, when oftentimes, sometimes we might have the bigger log in our own eye, feeling like super criticized, or just feeling like, was it the right context? What's wild to me is that even in the book of Corinthians, Paul writes that we shouldn't judge the world. The world, by their behaviors and their actions, is actually already under judgment. Like, that's the thing. But it's not our job to judge the world. It actually says we should be a little bit harder on ourselves and inside of the church, because we have had that light bulb moment and we should be held accountable. So to that point, yeah, I think that if we can have and be people that are feeling like, where are we on that journey? We need everybody, some good channels that just, oh, wow, that's cool. And what are we after? We're also after the fact that like this thing either works or it doesn't. Like this should, this, and it does work. Meaning there was a study, I heard it referenced from Mark Driscoll, secular study, that they studied that out of all the different worldviews, the way you could set up the household, the way that you could live your life, that homes that had a mother and father in the home that were praying and attending church and were Bible reading homes had the best results as a family out of any other way to live. Not perfect results, not by, for sure, drama and issues, and we're always going to see a brokenness on this side of heaven, but this thing should actually work. And so us just sharing our faith, praying, being thoughtful about what God is calling us to do. If you feel called like Jonah to go preach revival, or you maybe can't even escape the call, you tried, you got, you know, and then you were brought back in a whale's mouth, but you're like, I guess I can't get away from this. You really got to be faithful with your call. But yeah, I agree with that. I think that us living it out, right, is such a powerful witness, whether we're shouting it from the rooftops or we're also living it out with our lives.
So considering all 4 of those different content strategies, how do you think Christian content creators can be more effective?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, when I think about that, I wrote down a verse, Matthew 10:16 says this, Jesus talking, "Look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, so be as shrewd as snakes and as harmless as doves." I think that this is one of the most important verses for content creators, Christian business owners, and Christians in general, maybe stereotypically, are probably really known for being harmless as doves, but a lot of times not known for being shrewd as snakes or shrewd as serpents. And I think that those are the 2 areas that we should be growing in if we want to be effective as Christian content creators. And here's what I mean. Shrewd as snakes is where we drop the ball. This is what's wild about him saying that, is there was a snake in the garden. A snake would be known by listeners as even being kind of like the devil was a serpent, but by no means would Jesus be saying like we should imitate or act like. But what are some details of a serpent? Subtle, crafty, sneaky, shrewd, intelligence, wise, trying to find ways to give your witness in a way that does not bring unnecessary persecution. And there's another verse where Jesus was even kind of, I don't know, observing, criticizing maybe. He said, you know, actually, like when it comes to worldly wealth and money, like the people of the world are better and more shrewd with money than the children of the light. It wasn't a compliment. Sometimes Christians we have so many mixed up money mindsets, so many business mindsets about marketing. This is why I think this is so important. Oh, you know, do I market my brand? I want to stay humble. Oh, what if money's coming in? You know, money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. The love of money is. But we're messed up in our mindsets about money, our mindsets about marketing, our mindsets about all this different stuff. When you see a verse like this, it's like, no, he's saying, be shrewd, get smart. I think about, Moses was trained in Egypt foundationally in his life first, and eventually became a great leader. The other part that happened to him, though, was fiery bush, you know, encounter with God. Then he became a great deliverer, but he still had a foundation of, if you will, practical world wisdom. Not in a bad way, but the practical wisdom and intelligence. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had the same thing. They were in Babylon, trained for 3 years. And so there's something about, I think, that sometimes Christians struggle with learning from secular voices. I think that we're making a mistake if we don't learn from people that are just good at business. And sometimes, you know, like we all have different people. We had somebody speak at our conference, people would know that was, you know, we're a pretty family-friendly brand. He was cursing the whole time. And so, you know, no, we didn't really hear any complaints. And we knew that that was his style. And we didn't tell him not to, because it was kind of like, listen, we're a business company. This wasn't a church service. And that's why not the way I talk. The reason we brought this person in was not because of any of these other areas. It was because that they have intelligence and practical wisdom that we need as content creators. So I think that we need to have a grace like Daniel did in Babylon to learn best practices, business principles, marketing principles, all of that stuff, if we're going to thrive and succeed as Christian content creators in general. But you bring in the other piece, and this is why this verse from Jesus is so powerful, because you also need the harmless, and the better translation is innocence of the dove, which is being pure, being unmixed, being free from evil. Maybe you go to a marketing seminar, you learn a lot of good principles, but one of the things someone's sharing is like, that's not integrous. Then you got to be able to throw that out. I've heard it said, you got to be able to eat the meat and throw out the bones. Your ultimate filter is, I'm going to filter everything I learn here through the Bible. I'm never going to let some tactic or strategy supersede character and the principles of the Word of God. I need to be able to distinguish between the two, pure, unmixed, free from evil, and without evil intent. We talk about marketing all the time. You're our CMO, you're our chief marketing officer. You're amazing at that. But what we're trying to cultivate at Think Media, and I'm sure we've made mistakes, that's why a lot of these things are not like a black and white problem to be solved. They're a tension to be managed. Jesus is like, this is the guardrails for this. Hey, you probably need to be a little bit more shrewd, more wise, get actually like better at your craft and like apply best practices. Why are you over-spiritualizing everything? Learn from Babylon for 3 years. And then on the other side, though, sometimes we can get in the mindset, the heart set, the intent, could be manipulation, could be, you know, kind of be control, could be being a little bit dishonest in our marketing. That's not going to be innocent and harmless like doves. And so that also means risk your lives as vulnerable, non-combative, sheep-like, courageous witnesses. So that's almost bend your brain. Because you're like, how do I be both? Well, that's what we're being invited to be. I think as Christian content creators, we think about our ethics. We think about clickbait, thumbnails, titles, marketing. You know, we often say content is king, but marketing is queen and she runs the household. It is your responsibility as a Christian content creator to get really great at titles and thumbnails. And I would argue to bait the click. If you want to catch fish, you put the right bait on the hook. But clickbait could go two ways. It could be unethical and dishonest and deceiving, but it also could just be effective. Like, wow, that's like, wow, that really made me click. And then the video actually delivered on the promise. And man, maybe even our old Christian community, we could get so judgy, because I think also sometimes maybe if someone's entire brand, you're like, man, they just, when I really look, they maybe claim, they say, you know, I'm a kingdom entrepreneur, I'm a kingdom content creator, but like visibly, verifiably over time, they're operating in like kind of shady business practices and manipulation and stuff. I mean, if over time that's the thing, then there's maybe an issue to be addressed, or, you know, you want to be careful. But sometimes you make like one mistake. Like there's maybe been some times, and by the way, that's why I read the comments. It'll say like, man, I felt like that was a little clickbaity, like a little too much. So yeah, maybe we went too far. Great. Let's be listening. Let's have humble hearts. We're going to need that our entire journey with Jesus. We're going to be able to need to have course correction. So I think that that's kind of a cool framework, and everybody listening probably goes to one or the other extreme. You're really good what you want, that purity, which is so innocence, purity, harm, like, and it's like the Amish extreme. Respect to the Amish. I'm just like, I don't want anything to do with that. But the potential problem with that is then we're never actually in culture being effective and making a difference. The Bible did not say leave the world. It said you're in the world, but don't be of the world. So we're in the world. What are we not of it? We're innocent. We got the dove, which also the Holy Spirit saying we're different though. We do it with a different style. And some stuff is so neutral. Like money is neutral. It is a tool to be used, greed to be avoided, money being a master, the spirit of mammon to be avoided, but also not money to be avoided because you need money for the mission. Jesus had women funding his ministry. Female entrepreneurs were funding the gospel, it says, and that was the core source. And also, if you think about it, Jesus in another instance, he was able to, they were like, Jesus, you got to pay your taxes. He was like, all right, go fishing. And so they went fishing, got a fish, pulled out a drachma or whatever, a coin from the fish's mouth, paid his taxes. So clearly, and throughout his life, he had the supernatural potential in any given moment to just get money out of nowhere, to grow money on trees. But 99% of his ministry, that was not how he funded it. He funded it through bought in people whose lives have been transformed by his mission and his message, disciples following him, and business people, women in particular, following his ministry that out of their wealth, out of their influence, out of that they were contributing that to the kingdom. That is a massive, I think, invitation for us to be a lot more intentional on the shrewd side. You will not build wealth, honestly, if you don't skill up, learn new skills, be excellent at what you do, legitimately solve a problem, put in the work, put in the study, put in the hustle, do all that stuff. All of those conclusions could be made. That's the shrewd side. Then we need the Holy Spirit side. And I think when we have both, I think that that's how we could be the most effective as Christian content creators.
So you touched on this a little bit, but it's such a common question. I'd like to just go head on to the question of selling as a Christian content creator. Now, I know this gets a little different if you're a church or if you're someone doing apologetics, but let's just speak to the Christian content creator who maybe is somebody who is doing content like us that's doing, tech content or something that's not directly related, and they want to put their affiliate links in or practice any of the, the best practices that we talk about. We have a whole class at, what is it? Build Kingdom.
Expand.
ExpandGodsKingdom.com. That's right. So ExpandGodsKingdom.com. We have a whole class. We teach Christian content creators how to actually monetize on YouTube. And the biggest question, the biggest objection we get is, yeah, but I don't want to do that. That doesn't feel right to me. So can you speak a little bit to that?
Yeah. And if I first say this journey has been hard, like this journey prayerfully has been hard for me, where sometimes I felt like, oh, wow, that's getting a little bit yucky. And other times I've also felt like, okay, wow, I feel like I'm getting it right. And so I think the first thing is to set off on a journey to say, if you want to be in business, and let's be clear, Goldman Sachs said the creator economy is going to double in the next couple of years, $500 billion industry. And that this is, and Yahoo Finance said the creator economy is the fastest growing small business type. So I think the mindset to have, I think that church is not a business and it should not be run like a business, but business principles should be learned by pastors because a church to be effective, it essentially is a business. You have a P&L statement. It's a nonprofit entity, the way they're most set up. So I think one, you got to get into a mindset that once, if this is just a hobby, that's fine. But if you're a Christian content creator that wants to do this full time and you want to fund your ministry full time, you got to get a business mindset. And if you get a business mindset, there's no such thing as business if you don't sell. At some point, you have to sell. Now, I know you could say, well, maybe I just want to create great content, get views, and let YouTube pay me. But know for a fact that selling is still happening. Brands are paying to advertise on your videos. They pay YouTube. YouTube splits it with you. And you might want to think, which as a side quest, some people say, I don't want just any brand to advertise on my video. You can go into your Google AdSense account and say, I don't want, adult content or alcohol content. You can filter that because you got to be thinking if you're not selling, somebody is. It's the only way the economy is going to work. So I think you have to change your relationship with sales. You have to make a decision that I need to address my money beliefs and my sales beliefs. And I also need to develop this skill because if you're going to say successful Christian content creator, that's not broke, that lasts over time, you got to remedy this issue. My thought is a couple mindsets that I think are helpful. Is shifting your mindset to understand that to sell is to serve. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be the car salesman. And the reason we don't want to be them is we think about high pressure. We think about manipulation. We think about them pushing a car on us that we maybe can't afford because they just want to make a sale. We think about them pushing warranties and upsells that maybe are just getting us. And we just, the whole experience might feel pushy. And then we also think about tactics. I need to go scan your license, and they hold your license hostage, and they want you to be hungry. And there can get, it can get into some stuff where you're like, that's getting a little weird. And as long as we've been in this industry, there's been conversations we've had at about events we've been at where like, we don't want to do it that way. We saw certain things. We could take some things away from it, but there's certain things we don't want to do. But if you have a product that really actually meets someone's need, whatever it is you're selling, and maybe that's you're recommending a product, you would never want to, we say affiliate marketing is recommending products that you know, like, or that you personally use and love that you would recommend to your friends and family. You put a link in your description and you make money in that transaction. This is an ethical process. Business is not just a good idea, it's a God idea. And the ethical process is, this product meets the need. It blessed you. It's going to bless the person that purchases it. The person who created the product, the brand, they are in business. Their kids eat. Their family can eat. And then Amazon, if it's like the realtor, they make money in the process. And then you, the content creator, are able to fund your content creation because you have an income stream called affiliate marketing. And so done ethically, it's a win-win-win-win-win.
Yes.
And back to the, you know, maybe sometimes you've learned, you know, there's different things over the year, but you're always steering towards guard your heart, do it right, be transparent. If you don't feel good about the video, don't do it. If you don't feel good about the brand deal and it's not done, don't do it. It's always better to have the long-term brand, but don't go to the other extreme. Purposefully and strategically and intentionally set up your videos to monetize, but just in an ethical way, in a way that serves people. You know, we can link in the show notes to a book, which will be our affiliate link, that'll serve you and that'll be amazing. And it's actually called, I think, Business Principles from the Bible, Daniel Rabbi Lapin, who I think is a Christian Jew, so like Messianic Jew, that extrapolates just from the Old Testament and the Torah, really incredible opening, mind-opening principles, also just about how business done right is how economies and ecosystems and how money works. So I think you want to shift your mindset and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I think, yeah, just continuing to learn and knowing that finally, if you have a product that helps people, that rather than like, oh, I don't want to kind of sell, like I maybe have to do it, I'm going to do it reluctantly. I think you kind of really have to rewire your mind to actually say, no, it's actually my responsibility. It is my ethical responsibility to learn how to market and sell because I have a product that can transform someone's life. And therefore, the process of selling is actually the process of clarifying if the product is right for the person and helping them clarify if it's right for them, answering objections, explaining what it is. And we're trying to do it at Think Media in such a way that whenever we offer like our course or something, that it's just, we've built a relationship. We're just trying to explain what it is. I often say, whether it's right for you or not, I hope you can enjoy our free content. If you have more questions, we'll answer your questions on it. And understanding and helping people come to a conclusion on their own if that product is right for them. And in some cases, that it is untangling false beliefs or helping that individual understand the pros and the cons. This is why we might compare. So like if we sell our course and for a certain amount of money, and we'll like compare it. We'll say, well, you're already spending money. You bought some shoes and you're going out to eat and you're doing this and you're doing that. But none of that is actually going to transform your life. This course is going to help you learn new skills. So if you could compare the value of this to the value of that, all those different frames just help that individual come to a buying decision. And I'll oftentimes say, you know, if you're serious about YouTube and you know you want to commit to this and you want to shorten your learning curve and you want to save time, then you should join our program, Video Raking Academy. But listen, if you're actually not serious about YouTube, you're still kind of just on the fence, then you shouldn't join it. Like, so I think there's like a way to do it. And it's an absolutely essential skill if you want to learn. Don't hesitate from it. Be careful who you learn from. And that's one of the things we hope we can help people, that you can maybe see the way we do it. I'm far from perfect, but our goal is to remain in a biblical framework. The first of our seven core values is the Bible is our blueprint. So there's sales principles throughout the Bible. And I'll hit one more thing. I know we've gone long, but at the end of the day too, actually everything is sales. What do I mean? Ministers, sales makes it sound weird, but they're in the business of persuading and explaining the gospel. Paul says that many times. I'm a parent. I am in the business of persuading and motivating my children to make good decisions and to do things that are for their benefit, for their good, to not harm themselves, to not die, to especially the toddler, he's climbing up ladders, he's grabbing knives, he's grabbing scissors. It is important. Like, I want to have a positive influence back to harmless like doves without evil intent. My intent is for the good of my kids. The pastor's intent is for the good of humanity and his local church. The businessman's intent is for the good of prospects, ultimately wanting for, and by the way, at the end of the day too, sales is incomplete. If all you do is get a sale, but you don't deliver and you don't have a good product, which is a whole nother thing to build out. But at the end of the day too, it's a combination of all the above. So that's a great topic, and we could hit that in greater depth in the future, but I hope some of that was valuable.
So for those creators who are speaking more directly about Christian topics or maybe biblical topics, one of their biggest concerns is censorship and not being able to actually be monetized or get their content out there. So what would you speak to that?
Yeah, it's a great topic. There has been cases where people have been shadow banned, maybe not for Christianity, maybe for conservative values. There's no doubt about it that Google owning YouTube and maybe social media in general kind of leans liberal. And so and there's no doubt about it that Judeo-Christian values are under attack, period. And so depending on who is pulling the levers of these different media platforms and whatnot, it's a very relevant issue. So I wrote down, I think, 5 tips for handling controversial topics. It's a legitimate concern. I don't think the conclusion is ignore YouTube entirely, because YouTube, you can go to Rumble, but there's also not even a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the people there. So our belief and conviction based on data is that if you want to get your mission out, your message out there, you want to build your business, you want to build a creator business, YouTube is the absolute undefeated best platform to do so. That doesn't mean it's without problems. And it doesn't mean if you pick a particular content format that you might get demonetized, that you might get a community guideline strike, that you might get your channel deleted, or you might get, because there are stories of that. I sometimes think that the stories of that are maybe somewhat exaggerated, because you kind of get what you're looking for. I'm not saying they're false. They're true, but you hear a story and you're like, oh my gosh, censorship is so strong, and we need to be fighting these battles. And I'm great for those on the front lines of doing it. But have you looked at and also found examples of people who are hitting really controversial topics and not getting demonetized and not getting their channels deleted? I think what comes to mind is like Patrick Bet David at Valuetainment. Maybe nobody doing it better than him. And maybe one reason is because he's willing to have debate, free speech at a table, at a podcast, and talk to people from both sides and people of different beliefs. And he is a Christian and once also has sat down and had religious debates and has hit highly controversial issues on gender and all this kind of stuff that is happening in culture right now. So again, for all those that maybe feel like they're getting shadow banned, I just would caution people that sometimes you maybe aren't getting shadow banned. Your content just isn't that good. You might not be getting shadow banned. Everyone's views are down a little bit across, like, and we go so quickly maybe to a conspiracy mindset and some of that. I'm not denying it. I'm just saying maybe truth and wisdom is a little bit in the middle. But here's 5 thoughts about how to deal with it. I think number one is to actually read YouTube's policies. You can look them up, Google them. A lot of people haven't done that. And people are like upset if they overtly break a YouTube policy that is pre-stated. I know the objection is, yeah, but it's so vague. I mean, are we talking about the US Constitution? Our rights are under attack. Free speech is under attack. Okay, but YouTube also has policies. So they're their own platform. So you should read them. Number two is use disclaimers. I think that you could put a disclaimer in your description or a disclaimer in your video. And the general disclaimer you could look up for, I mean, just go to ChatGPT and type in, can you write for me a disclaimer for talking about controversial topics in my YouTube videos, and see what it spits out, and use something like, that's not going to be necessarily legal. You could try, but it's going to help. But here's the gist of it. This content is intended for educational purposes only. Because what one of the things that is happening, right, is we're labeling things hate speech. Okay, I don't agree with most of that, right? I think we should have freedom of speech. But if it's educational content, you might say there's this belief and there's that belief. Like for me, I'm a Bible guy. I'm a Bible is inspired guy, and the Bible is the blueprint for our company. So but the Bible is my worldview. And people would say that there's hate speech in the Bible. I disagree. But I respect that it's interpreted that way. And I also am happy to sit at the table not saying that we both agree that the Bible is going to be our measure. So let's debate. Let's talk. Here's the point. This is for educational purposes. And so, number one, that could be your disclaimer. And it may be text on the screen, or it may be something you say, and it may be in your description. So number one, understand YouTube's policies. Number two, use disclaimers. Number three, focus on education, not provocation. So not only do the disclaimer, but sometimes people are so mad that a video triggered, or maybe they're not mad it triggered people, but they're mad it's now demonetized. When you're like, what are you? Obviously, it was, you're on such an attack. And I get that you're passionate about your beliefs, but you're not really, back to the shrewd thing, wisdom, intelligence, find ways to give your witness in a way that does not bring unnecessary persecution. Some people are out here like just going crazy, like almost like trying to get persecuted. And then they're acting surprised when it happens. I think that that's also the end of the day. I mean, you should do what you're convicted to, but if you get kicked off of somewhere, if you get kicked out of a college campus because you're loudly shouting and preaching, I'm glad you did that. That's cool you did that. It's also their right to kick you out. You're on the front lines of that conflict. But if you're in provocation, don't be surprised when people are provoked, you know? And so saying that, I think there's something about wisdom that education is greater than confrontational and sensational content. I get the power of a controversial title or thumbnail. I see how that could work. But back to, and I really see Patrick Bet David doing this. Again, he's hitting all of the hot button issues, but here's also how he's doing it with research. He's got a research team now, hours of research, presenting both views, presenting facts. There's a lot of, it's like culture right now is like a game of telephone where you whisper something in one ear and they whisper it to the next person. The news that we're getting about Israel and Palestine, the news that we're getting about pandemics, the news that we're getting, it's also mixed and people read headlines and things aren't verified. And I'm kind of like I lean conservative, probably more independent, but I'm an equal opportunity person. There's messed up people on both sides. People are taking things to the extreme on both sides. And I think that we're out here blasting our opinions and we haven't done our due diligence. We haven't done our research. And that might be one reason why he's hitting controversial topics effectively and getting tons of reach and not getting throttled. And we don't know what the future holds and not getting demonetized. I know some conservative outlets like Daily Wire has had like whole batches of videos demonetized. And just as one side quest before we hit the other points, I also think like if that's our greatest fear, especially if you're coming from a Christian standpoint, I think that if you feel the conviction that God has called you to preach, where there is vision, there will be provision. And that doesn't mean YouTube is your source. God is your source. So also, who cares if a video gets demonetized? I know if your whole channel and it could affect your business, and I'm there with you, but there's other ways to monetize. There's people that are rallying support through Patreon because people are so on mission with you. There's people that are, you could have your own products and service or merch or different things you do. Like, how about you take the responsibility of being like, I can't believe I have this free platform, we should know. This free platform where I am allowed to, you know, speak and proclaim and the videos are spreading. There was that recent shift too where YouTube changed and they said they're going to stop flagging, I think, the election misinformation kind of stuff. And there's opinions on both sides. And they said, okay, maybe we had a little bit of an overreach. They backed off of that. YouTube's not perfect, but I think we should think about this. Like, YouTube is free. It's their platform. And if you look around at how many Christian voices, conservative voices, whatever voices, look at how much reach they're all getting. It's pretty cool what's happening. There might be stuff happening in the middle there, but if you're focused, if you really are wise and having your education. And so again, if you keep getting the reach, but you get demonetized, find a way to fund the mission and trust that also God will give you wisdom of how to do that. Okay. Number four, avoid hate speech and misinformation. Kind of stacks. Avoid hate speech. Please don't quiet down on real truth. Like, don't avoid saying if people are offended by truth, you should speak, keep, you don't bend the truth. However, it goes back to the style of doing it. And so keep proclaiming truth. And if someone just calls something hate speech, it doesn't mean that it is. But I think you can get my gist. Avoiding it is smart. And avoid misinformation. Like, and ultimately, I think that reduces our credibility. The mainstream media has been caught for this. If you make a mistake, correct it. Because so often too, what will happen is misinformation will happen and we never even go back. It's just constant, all kinds of smoke and mirrors out here. Hold your brand to integrity, do your due diligence. But then number five, and this might be one of the most important, diversify your platforms. I think that YouTube still should be in the home base. And I think one of the great examples, if we're talking to Christian content creators and looking at conservative voices, is J.P. Sears. So J.P. Sears, probably everybody watching this maybe at some time has seen him. Redhead, long hair, hilarious, really comedian and stand-up comedian that makes all kinds of different videos about different topics. They're very witty. They're very wise. And it's an interesting talk about a way to get truth out, but when you put it in the wrapper of comedy, which comedy is one of the greatest vehicles, because by the way, on both sides, when people get outrageously offended by the opening joke of whatever comedian, I think they forgot the context of the room. It is a joke and it's meant to push your buttons, and the context of the room is a free speech context. It's literally a comedian. And so I would go on both sides. Like, while it might offend my values, I'm not offended that you chose to go to see a comedian. And Dave Chappelle, I think, is a great example of this. I think he's, you know, Bill Burr, great example. Are you familiar with Bill Burr?
Mm-mm.
I think he kind of has the accent. He kind of has the whole thing. This will be, you know, I'll just go there. One of his jokes was like, people are all bent out of shape about when does life start. And he was talking about the abortion issue. And he was like, man, I think people are, you know, I think you should have freedom to do this. And people are getting so out of shape and conservatives are getting bent. And he's going and people are kind of like, yeah, yeah. And he goes, but also we also have to just know that you are killing a baby. And that's what you're doing. And it even, and now both, everyone's triggered. Like, both sides are triggered. Everyone's mad. And he's just, you know, speaking truth. People are still going to probably disagree with him. But he's literally, the best comedians are going to find those polarizing hard issues, find those things and get people talking and get people. So to that point, thinking about J.P. Sears, he's using this comedy as a rapper, as a vehicle. And he is crushing it and getting massive reach on YouTube, but he's also building his email list. Every Christian content creator should be building an email list. That means that's the only thing you're going to own. A text message list might be similar, a Discord group or a Facebook group, although you're still on Facebook, you're on somebody else's platform. But when you have someone's own contact information, should something happen with the algorithm, even if you don't get canceled, you just have a direct connection. You know, distribution to your subscribers might be different. At least you've got emails. He's also streaming on Rumble. So is Dave Ramsey. They are streaming on Rumble. They're streaming on YouTube. They're streaming on multi-platform. If you actually think in a media world, should you have the resources to do so? Someone's like, you know, should I be on Twitch also? Should I be on this new platform? And my ultimate answer would be like, well, if you can pull it off, why wouldn't you be everywhere? We also, YouTube's home base. You got to get your YouTube game right. But we post 60 TikToks a month, 60 across two TikTok accounts. We post 350 pieces of Facebook Reels. We're into Instagram Reels. I actually want to get our Rumble started. It's more of a resources and time and energy and thinking about it. Like, so diversify your platforms. And I think another example is Ruslan KD. And so Ruslan's a friend. And some of the things that they'll do in their videos is they'll edit out words that'll trigger the algorithm. They also will have certain content that is on YouTube. And then he's got his Patreon where there's full-length conversations. Daily Wire has certain content that is in their videos, but then they've got Daily Wire Plus where conversations could go deeper. And by the way, so there's also many liberal YouTube channels that are doing the same thing. So we can see this model out there. I hope all these principles are clear and helpful. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I think you should be on YouTube and understand the policies and use disclaimers to focus on education and not provocation and avoid hate speech. But of course, stand for truth and don't cave or bend. Have a backbone and follow the call, especially the mission and message God has called you to. Certainly, though, avoid misinformation and do your due diligence. But diversify your platforms. And I think what all these accounts are also saying, look how much reach they're getting on YouTube. So Daily Wire could say, I don't think they are, but they could say, oh man, YouTube demonetized us or we're frustrated or whatever. But how many Daily Wire Plus users have purchased that membership because of the free reach that YouTube has given them?
Yeah.
So the perspective to have, I try to stay neutral. I want to fight for free speech and I want to be in that. And that's where I'm going to lean. But I'm also, I just want to have gratitude. I'm like, it's YouTube's choice to do this or that. If one video gets shut down, that's frustrating. Five others didn't. Keep going, keep learning, keep pivoting. Keep diversifying your platform. Keep understanding YouTube. Put parts of conversations that could be on YouTube that maybe take it to another level and then continue the conversation somewhere else. Give people access to things. Very controversial figure, Alex Jones in InfoWorld Wars has been known to be canceled everywhere, kind of across platforms. And so he's set up other websites and set up other things and still has got people following him. We've mentioned, you know, maybe many names, which people have opinions about. But what has he done? Diversifies his platform. And you could be like, mad you're canceled now, but what about the 5, 10 years that YouTube gave you a bunch of reach? You know, I think some people's fear as we land the plane is like, what if I build my YouTube channel out? But I know that I want to be in politics. I want to be talking about the hardest things in the Bible to talk about. I want to be doing this. And what if someday my channel gets deleted or shut down? Oh, okay, legitimate fear. And that would be deeply frustrating. Tip number one, back up your content, maybe post it other places. Tip number two, but what if you just don't use it at all and don't get the reach for the next 2, 3, 6, 7, 13 years before things get so crazy? That would be awful if it got deleted. But would you completely throw the baby out with the bathwater and forget that maybe it built your brand? I don't really actually know that much about InfoWars, but like, I mean, how much, again, free traffic and impact and reach did they get before getting shut down? And how much money did they make, and how could they use that money to reinvest and expand? There's no doubt about it. That's why you shouldn't ignore YouTube, because there's 2.7 billion monthly active users. The algorithm, it's amazing. And so yes, of course, you could be wise. You never know what's going to happen in the future, but why not crush it over the next 1 to 5 years and get some market share and get some awareness for your brand and do all of that? We can't live in fear, and we want to be wise. And if you've diversified your platform, even though that might be a sad day that your thing stopped working there, it could be the very vehicle that got you to the success that launched you to the next level. So those are a few thoughts on controversial topics. Of course, I would encourage our audio listeners, if you haven't come over to YouTube for this one, and if you're on YouTube, hit us with some follow-up questions. Hit us with your thoughts on this episode. Hit us with your opinions and your thoughts on this episode, maybe tips and lessons you've learned. Hit us with some stories or some examples you've heard. I mean, you're free to disagree with us. It's open conversation. We're free speech believers ourselves. And so we've talked about a lot, but I hope some of that's helpful.
Yeah. And if you want to continue the conversation and go deeper on actual YouTube strategy for Christian content creators, learn about monetizing your content and gaining that influence and expanding your brand, then you definitely want to head to expandgodskingdom.com, because that's where we have a full masterclass on exactly those topics specifically for Christian content creators. So again, that's just where we can go deeper on all of this and spend a little bit more time together. If you hit it when we're going live with that class, then we get to do Q&A with you and talk through your guys' channels. So it's a really cool opportunity. So I definitely recommend going to expandgodskingdom.com to dive deeper onto these topics as well. And make sure that you're also subscribed to the podcast and following these conversations again, because we definitely want to hear your thoughts in the comments. And so we will get to see you on the next one.